TC Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me.
Hello and welcome back to Kick It Naturally. This is episode 309. I'm TC Hale, and I have some extra hangers if you need them. So today we're going to have part two of the case study that we started last week. It's the case study that we did on our new keto podcast, Chat the Fat, but we dug so much into so much chemistry and physiology and other symptoms beyond desired weight loss that I just wanted to share this with you guys because I want to do more case studies like this on the Kick It Naturally show. And I got some other new shows that I'm working on as well. Those will be coming out really soon. So if you didn't hear part one, go back and find episode 308, where we go over a lot of Elizabeth's physiology and what her numbers are for her self-test and some of the symptoms that she's dealing with. So in part two, we're going to dig a little bit deeper into some of those symptoms and imbalances that she's dealing with, and then some steps that she could take to improve those issues. So check this out, and we'll catch you at the end. I'm here with Nissa Gran, and Nissa Gran is here with TC Hale.
I am. And if they are watching on YouTube, they'll see that we never really left because we're still wearing the same clothes.
Right. Or a week later, we're still wearing the same clothes.
I might do that sometime. So that's a possibility.
Right. Yeah. This new semi-retired, not training anymore thing has me realizing, oh, wow, I should probably shower.
Yeah. Same thing as a stay-at-home mom, that you kind of don't shower more often than you do.
Awesome. Good to know. Okay. So we're still going over our case study with Elizabeth. So can we kind of recap just real quickly kind of what we did earlier in the week so that we can finish off and kind of talk more about her physiology and steps that might help?
Yes. So Elizabeth came to us because she wanted to figure out why she continually loses weight and then gains the weight back, and why she just can't level out her weight and stay there. And she has been dealing with some digestive issues and imbalances, but the main reason that she came to us is because she wants to lose weight, which so many of us do. And some of the symptoms that she's been experiencing that could be inhibiting her weight loss are diarrhea, motion sickness, uncontrollable cravings near her period, fingernail and skin issues, joint pain, allergies and asthma type symptoms, light colored stool, low energy on low carb, and joint pain when she's not following a low carb plan.
And I was just thinking about this as we're going over this, because some of these things are really going to all of a sudden make a lot of sense to Elizabeth and to anybody listening. So we talked, if you didn't hear episode 28, then you're doing it wrong. Go back and listen to episode 28 so that you can get everything that we already kind of covered with Elizabeth's physiology. And we also talked about how we do these case studies for people who sign up for the Keto Decoder course and do the annual pay. So they get a discount when they do annual pay. So they pay annually instead of monthly. And then they get a lot of bonuses, and this case study is one of them. But I'm realizing that when a lot of people hear this, they're going to want to do this annual pay and have a case study done. So we're going to do our best to try and have the annual pay option open when this episode comes out. I'll try and do my schedule now so that I can take some during that time, plan ahead. So if it's something that you want to do, just go to kickitnaturally.com/annual pay and you'll see the details there. Or if too many people already signed up and we shut it off, then there'll be a place where you can just sign up to be notified as soon as we open it up again.
Yeah, so we will talk about all of your issues on the podcast, but no one will know who you are, so don't worry about that.
Right, and we'll even use a fake name if you want us to. Elizabeth was brave and said we could use her real name, and she also said that we could use her phone number, which is 817. Oh, no, we're not doing that?
No, no phone number. Okay. Although this makes her famous. She's on a podcast, so Maybe she needs a publicist now.
Right, good job. You're famous, and we're talking about your diarrhea. Kenny used to love that when we did that with her.
Yeah.
But we're all family here. We talk about poop. That's how it goes.
I talk about Jason's issues, and I haven't really tuned into whether or not he enjoys that or not. I don't think he does, but he doesn't. He's not here, so he doesn't have a choice.
Right. Well, I'm still engaged because Sarah doesn't listen to this.
Oh, awesome.
So I'm allowed to talk about her stuff, and that's just how it goes. Okay, so we left off where we were going over questions that I sent Elizabeth after going over all of her questionnaire answers, and it kind of created more questions for me. So now we're going to go in through, let's pick back up with the next question that I had for Elizabeth and her answer.
Yeah. So in the last episode, we made it through one question. So we are going to make it through the rest of the questions.
Yeah, quite efficient.
Yes. So the next question that you had for Elizabeth, has anything improved since you started this last round of going low carb and working to transition into keto? If so, what? And also, has anything gotten worse? And so Elizabeth's reply, it's been about the same this time around as other times. My sleep improves. My cravings go away after the third day or so. My mood, concentration, energy, and libido all improve for a couple weeks, and then it all settles back down. Nothing's gotten worse, just the dip after a few weeks of feeling really good. I still feel good, but my energy and my mood dip. I still sleep well, and my concentration and cravings stay the same until a week or so before my period.
Right. So this usually happens because the removal of the carbs or the reduction of the carbs is allowing the blood sugar levels to stay on a more even keel. And you don't get those spikes and crashes, so you see a lot of improvements. But the longer a person goes without the carbs, then the resources start going low. So when a person has plenty of mineral in the system, those minerals can buffer the low blood sugar when blood sugar goes a little bit too low. And when minerals go too low, the sugars can buffer the low minerals, which is why the person craves the junk and they feel better when they eat, you know, something that has a lot of carbs or sugars that can be turned into sugars. So those two things can buffer each other. So when a person does well at first, they're still doing well because they still have some backup resources from all the junk they've been eating that the body's able to access. But as the body uses those up and it goes lower and lower, if they don't have enough mineral coming from the food they're eating, or they can't break it down well enough to access those minerals, then the energy starts to go down, the mood starts to go down, they start to crave more, and all those things kind of happen. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think when you say mineral, a lot of people, especially people who follow keto, get confused because they think to get more minerals, all they need to do is just supplement with magnesium or potassium, sodium. Mm-hmm. And what you're talking about involves way more than just adding a few supplements to their day.
Right. Because those supplements can help and they can do a lot of things for some people. But your body has all of these nutrients and micronutrients and all these vitamins and cofactors that go along with those nutrients that are not even, you know, like a synthetic fractionated, you know, vitamin or mineral. So there's a lot that the body accesses from food that we need, that if that's not coming into the system, you're still going to get problems, even if you're supplementing with some minerals. That doesn't mean don't supplement with minerals. That it can be really beneficial and helpful for a lot of people. It's usually just not enough.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
and I think
so the person's results is going to vary greatly depending on their ability to pull nutrients out of their food.
I think that's definitely important to clarify, because so many people don't understand how important it is to be able to break down the food that you're eating. That it's just not eat high fat, low carb, and you're going to see results. If you can't break that food down and get the energy and the minerals out of that, then you're not going to see long-term success.
Right. And if you have chronic diarrhea, it's not happening. You're not getting the nutrients that you need. You may be getting some, but it's not very many, and it's clearly not enough for you to make it past go if your period is go. If you're not getting past go without having a bag of Doritos.
Yes. And Funny that you bring up diarrhea, because that's actually the next question you asked Elizabeth, and we're about to get really personal here.
Let's do it. But
you said she's okay with that.
We're all family.
You asked Elizabeth, how severe is your diarrhea? How many times do you go per day? And is your stool just leaning towards loose, or is it more like actual diarrhea? So definitely getting personal there.
Here we go.
And Elizabeth's response was, most of the time it's just really loose stool. Once or twice a week, it's full-blown diarrhea. It usually improves the longer I'm on keto. I go about 3 to 4 times per day, depending on the day. Once I get into ketosis, the loose stool levels off to about once or twice a day. It's still light in color and still loose.
So, and we've seen this before too. You know, for most people who have bile flow issues, we have seen that they need to use beet flow. A lot of them need to also do a coffee enema or a coffee suppository. A lot of them need to remove like foods like grains and a lot of processed junk that can thicken up the bile. High estrogen levels can thicken up the bile. So usually they need to do a lot of those steps to get it to work. But if someone just has a minor bile flow issue and maybe it's just a little thick and not flowing so great, if they start to go keto, eating fats triggers the gallbladder like, oh, it's time. I need to release some bile. So it triggers it to push bile out. So if they're getting that signal all day long and they're getting that signal in a higher way because they're consuming a higher level of fat, we've seen where for some people, it can get the bile moving just from that constantly calling on the gallbladder to send down the bile. Now, if bile is thick and sticky, it's just not going to move no matter how many times you call on it. And then consuming all of those fats just makes a person nauseous and not feel well, or they gain weight and they have skin issues, all these problems that can come from undigested fats in the system accumulating. So we would rather see people take the steps to fix the bile and make it easier and make it happen faster. But it is possible to fix or improve bile flow just by increasing the number of fats that you're eating and reducing the number of foods that are thickening up the bile and making it worse. By doing those two steps, some people can fix it. So this is why some people, the longer I'm on keto, the better these issues get, because the keto is kind of forcing their bile to eventually work. Now, a lot of people just don't make it that far because it does take some time to make that happen. And the symptoms that come up make them say, oh, keto's stupid. It doesn't work. It just gives you acne. I'm done. And they quit. So just kind of understand that if those things improve over time with you and you're just doing keto, you're not doing supplements to help fix the issue, that could be why.
And I do want to clarify, because we are talking about Elizabeth and the diarrhea issue, but that's just one of the symptoms of poor bile flow, because I actually had very poor bile flow, as shown by the cystic acne that I had and the itchy skin and other problems like nausea. But I never had diarrhea. I actually was the opposite, and I had constipation. Right. So you can be constipated and still have poor bile flow.
Right. So if you have almost no stomach acid and you're not acidifying your stool, then your stool moves slower. If you have what we call an anabolic imbalance, where all the water in the body is going to the wrong place, then you'll have constipation. So there's not one cause for these things that we talk about. You have to kind of look at your self-test numbers and look at those insights as well.
And so also to clarify, there are people, like Elizabeth said, she eats keto for a long time or for a while, and then it just kind of goes away on its own. But are there people where it just never goes away, and the only way to improve that issue is by taking a supplement like beet flow?
Right. And there's some people that are so bad that beet flow won't even help them. And, you know, it might take years for beet flow to reverse what has been going on for decades. You know, you can't just take a pill and 3 days later, everything's magically fixed. That's not how it works with natural supplements. So some people have stones that are so huge and backed up and need to be melted down. And it's going to be hard for them to do it. So we see all three scenarios, where somebody fixes it just by dropping the processed foods. Somebody fixes it just by increasing fats. Other people need to do maybe just beet flow, Others need to do beat flow, do what we call a beat flow flush a few times, and maybe a coffee enema and coffee suppository. And some people need to do that for a few months before they get it moving. So variations are wide. If you want to figure out if keto is right for you or your body chemistry, check out a new podcast, Chat the Fat. If you know me at all, you know I believe there is no diet that is right for every person. But if major weight loss is your goal, nothing is faster or easier than keto, if it's right for you. So my co-host, Nissa Grahn, and I will help you figure out if you can use keto to get past your weight loss plateaus or improve other health issues. Just search for Chat the Fat on iTunes or Stitcher, or go to chatthefat.com to learn more.
All right. So the next question that you had for Elizabeth, obviously she had some headaches. So you asked her, do your headaches start in the front, top, or back of your head? And how often do you get them? And she responded with that she usually gets headaches a day or two before her period, and they are in the front and top of her head, and she gets them about every other month.
So it could be, you know, period related, hormonal related, but usually the front of the head and top of the head headaches are from sugars either being too high or for spiking and crashing too fast. And if her cravings are out of control around her period, how often do you think that she's giving in to some of that and eating some things that might spike and crash her blood sugar?
Yeah. Okay. So the next question is, what kind of skin issues do you deal with? So she replied with that she breaks out a week before her period and sometimes when she eats peanuts. And she said she also has a few skin tags, which she has since learned is a sign of insulin resistance.
And we'll talk about some other things with insulin resistance too, but we've mostly, you know, covered a lot of the skin issues that make sense for her with the poor bile flow. And, you know, if the body may have the ability to deal with some, that burden of some undigested fats, but when the cycle comes around, it's got its hands full, you know, so it might lose the ability to deal with some of that and be like, just try to push some of this out through the skin more. I can't do this right now. I'm on my period.
And what about the comment where she said sometimes when she eats peanuts?
She could have a sensitivity to peanuts. You know, that's pretty common.
So when she's eating it, it's just trying to push those toxins out as well?
Right.
Okay.
Or what the body is viewing as a toxin.
And can you, I think a lot of people might not understand. Can you explain what skin tags are?
No, not really.
No. We're just going to let them wonder.
It's just, it looks like a mole almost, but it kind of looks like it hangs off a little bit. A lot of people get them like under their arms a lot. I guess there's other places that you can get them too, but a lot of people believe that it's common with insulin resistance, which makes sense because the body's dealing with a lot of burdens when it's insulin resistant and the person continues to eat sugar. So I don't know a whole lot about those.
Okay. I have heard a lot of people report that they just start to go away once they stick with their keto plan for a little while.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. So the next question you had for Elizabeth, describe your menstrual cycle. Oh, I see you're getting personal again. Mm-hmm. Do you have bad cramps, heavy flow, or what? Also, what is your emotional state around your period?
You know, I think that this, like, I shouldn't feel so comfortable talking to this people, but I grew up with three sisters and this is just how it goes.
I don't know. I had two brothers and I don't think I'd be able to talk about some of these things with them.
Okay. When we get off with this, call them and ask them if they're dealing with any erectile dysfunction stuff.
Yeah, I don't want to know. All right. So Elizabeth replied with, I'm very regular. So every 28 days or so, the first 2 days is like a crime scene in my pants. Wow, you can tell I didn't read that ahead of time.
Nicely done. Nicely described.
She has very heavy flow, lots of cramping, and lethargy. A week before, she's moody, weepy, bitchy. So I should have read this ahead of time, huh?
You probably should.
All right. So she is a lot of fun to be around. And she's also a little paranoid. Once her period starts, her mood and everything else.
Nyssa really enjoys your suffering, Elizabeth, by the way.
I just...
Well, this show went off the rails real quick.
Yeah. All right, I'm crying. Hold on. Let me take a drink.
Yeah, just if you're listening, just know it's not going well. Turning into choking, coughing, and...
I wasn't expecting that. All right. So Elizabeth is paranoid and...
Oh, boy.
Maybe you want to play her first.
Yeah, and the mood and everything else. Once the period starts, her mood and everything else levels out. She also craves sweets and salty foods. It's frustrating to go from zero cravings to craving sweets and salty foods, along with dairy and people laughing at my product. That's weird that she foresaw that that was going to happen and put that in there.
It seriously was the crime scene problem.
Right. I just pictured the CSI Miami guy taking his sunglasses off. And being, this is murder. So this is going to tie some things together for Elizabeth once she gets past Nyssa's behavior problem. But you know, one issue that's really common when a period has a heavy flow, it's usually because estrogen levels are high or they're elevated. And estrogen is not just a female hormone, it's a stress hormone. So when the body is stressed and freaking out, estrogen levels will go a lot higher. And there's almost nothing that will thicken up bile flow like high estrogen levels. So now all of a sudden, some things for Elizabeth are starting to make sense, that we're seeing this sign of high estrogen and we know that the bile doesn't seem to be flowing very well. And now we see that there may be a legitimate reason why.
Okay. And that, does that all go with all the symptoms like being paranoid and moody, weepy? So,
I've seen from a number of clients that the paranoid thing is really, along with a lot of mental people that would things that would people would consider mental issues come from a lack of resources and fuel for the brain to function correctly. Because when the brain is not getting the fuel it needs, we kind of go to this dark place where we view everything as horrible and somebody's watching me in the shower and all those kind of things. So the people I've seen with paranoid issues, they often improve once they improve that and they can pull more resources and the brain can get more fuel.
Okay. That's interesting. All right. Did you have anything else to say about that question?
I think you covered it.
Yes. I think I'm calm now. We'll see. We'll see what else she has to say. Okay. All right. So your next question is, how often are you having reflux? For how long have you had it? And her reply was 1 or 2 times per week. Once I get into ketosis, it goes away unless I eat a really fatty piece of meat like chuck roast or ribeye.
Yeah. And, you know,
and she also commented that she's had it on and off since she was in her late 20s, which is about 20 years.
Okay. So a lot of times people still view reflux as too much acid, but it's usually not enough acid to trigger the valve to close correctly. So again, minerals that aren't there to help the body make its own HCL levels. But we don't really know where her reflux and her stomach acid levels really are. Sometimes a person will have no reflux because they have no stomach acid and they just don't feel the reflux. And then when they get a little bit of stomach acid, all of a sudden they feel the acid coming back up because they have acid in there, but it's not enough to trigger the valve to close. So now they think, oh, I just did something and now I have reflux, so I need to not do that again. But, you know, so you don't know if a steak is actually like causing the body to actually make some HCL just to help break that down, or if it's too hard for a body to break that down, so everything's rotting and fermenting and getting pushed back up. But improving stomach acid levels will likely improve that. Now, she says that she just got HCL. I don't know if she started it yet, but if she has, it's probably made her stool more loose because she hasn't fixed bile flow yet. So adding more acid that's not getting neutralized is probably going to make her get lifted off the toilet like a rocket or something, you know. So it's likely that increasing the acid level will improve the reflux, but she probably has to fix the bile flow first.
Okay, so a lot of times people want to start the supplements together, but in the cases of diarrhea, you want to make sure to get that more solid more often before you even introduce the HCL.
Right, and I want to see people try to fix bile flow first. And if that doesn't do it, there are cases where the diarrhea is caused by a stool that's too alkaline. And when they start HCL, it'll actually fix it. But I don't like to see people start off doing that. I like to see people fix it first. Fix the bile flow before they start the HCL.
And so she mentions with her reflux that it goes away when she gets into ketosis unless she eats a really fatty piece of meat like chuck roast or ribeye, but it's more likely that that reflux is coming from the protein in the chuck roast or ribeye, not the fat, right?
Or the fact that it's a steak and that steak is harder to break down. The body needs more HCL, more resources to break down a steak than it does something like chicken or fish.
Okay, because I think a lot of people start using the supplements because they want to see improved digestion, but they don't always understand which supplements are improving which problem.
Right.
All right, so just to clarify that. All right, so the next question you had for Elizabeth, do you have to take anything for your allergies and how severe are they? And Elizabeth replied with, no meds, just allergy eye drops when my eyes are super itchy. I know my allergy symptoms get better the better I eat, so to motivate myself, I don't take any meds. The wheezing and the stuffiness forces me to eat better. It's kind of a pain, but a good motivator kind of thing.
Right, and I bet that the problems really happen if the sugar crashes, because resources are never as low as when a person with low minerals also adds a sugar crash to it. It's in the crash when the blood sugar goes way too low. If they didn't eat those carbs, there wouldn't be the crash. And so the crash is where the problems happen, and that's probably where she gets the most of her issues. So when she stops that junk and removes the spike and crash, all of a sudden the symptom improves.
So it's from a likely from a spike and crash. Could also be from a food sensitivity, like maybe when she starts eating keto, she's getting rid of foods that are causing this to happen?
It totally could. It could even be just from elevated stress levels. Anything that's taking more resources away from the body that it can't use on the digestive process could magnify that.
Okay. So the next question is related. How often do you have asthma-like symptoms? And Elizabeth replied with, I get wheezy in the fall for about 2 months. My doc said I'm prone to allergy-induced asthma. When I'm not eating keto or low carb.
Asthma right there, see?
Yeah. when I'm not eating keto or low carb, it flares up when I eat certain foods like too much sugar, dairy, and grains. Of course, the longer I'm on keto and low carb, those symptoms ease and eventually go away.
Yeah, so that makes sense with what we just talked about.
And it kind of sounds like, well, she said she's a research junkie, but sometimes she's answering her own questions.
Right.
All right. So the last question that you had for her was just to confirm you're not on any cholesterol meds or supplements, correct? And she said no. And she mentioned that her triglycerides were 117, but her total cholesterol was only 201.
Right. And she didn't mention that there. I just put that as a note because that's why I asked her if she was on cholesterol meds, because when triglycerides are high like that, it's almost always due to insulin resistance. It's due to insulin levels being too high. So when a person eats even a little bit of carbs, the body makes all of this insulin just to process that small amount of carbs. And so that's almost always the case. But when you see high triglycerides, you're almost always going to see high cholesterol as well, unless the cholesterol, unless the liver is just so beaten that it can't make enough cholesterol properly. Because that's one of the jobs of the liver, is to produce cholesterol. And it produces cholesterol when the cholesterol is needed to deal with a high amount of inflammation. And the inflammation most commonly comes from high insulin. So we're seeing a lot of things here that we've talked about in these two episodes that indicate that she's likely leaning towards insulin resistance. Her fasting blood sugar was 91, which I would not call 911 on that. That's an okay number in my book, unless they're also showing a lot of other signs of insulin resistance. And then you really want to watch that number to make sure that it doesn't start going over 95, because that's when it's really started to look problematic, over 95 and 100, that area.
I have a question. So we say that she's likely leaning insulin resistant based on some of the things she said. Is the only way to tell if you're insulin resistant by checking your fasting blood sugars? Is that how you want to look?
Yeah, and it's that's the easiest way to do it. You could also check insulin levels, but that's like a doctor and it's expensive and all those things. So you can get a glucometer and just do it at home, and that was easy to do.
And what if you're like around, what's the levels that usually signifies insulin resistance?
I want to see a person between like 80 and 85 is really optimal. Going up to 90, I'm fine with a person doing that. It's usually not such a big deal. Even 95, I'm like, let's see what happens when we reduce carbs. Can we get that back down? But over 100, over 105 is when even the medical community will start labeling people as, they used to call it syndrome X, all these things. So that's when I really want the numbers to improve. But the fact that her triglycerides were over 100, but her cholesterol was low, is another sign that the liver really needs some help. And getting the bile flowing so that all the work that the liver does to remove filth actually gets taken out the back door is going to help the liver more than just about anything.
Okay. So next, you were going to talk about
Just to say, insulin resistance takes time to really get fixed. You can eat zero carbs and still have high insulin because the body is doing all these things to turn protein into carbs. If you can't process carbs correctly, your body just views it as, I don't have any glucose. And so even if you're not eating carbs, the body is still going to turn protein into glucose if you're not processing it well. And that process correcting itself can be very slow. So be patient with that. If your fasting blood sugar is low, stick at it and it will eventually start going down.
And do you think that there's some people that may never be able to turn that around?
No. Next question. Okay. I'm sure there are, and I'm sure that there's a lot more people that the process is just so slow that they won't have the patience to continue with it. They just think that they're broken, so I might as well take these drugs that my doctor mentioned, and I might as well go with the plan that he told me, where I can't fix it, I can just manage it until they have to do horrible things to my body.
Yeah. All right. So next, you wanted to talk about some of the steps that you would take if you were in her situation.
Okay. So the first thing that I would consider if this was me is I would understand that the high levels of D3 are likely raising blood pressure and greatly magnifying joint pain. And you just have to understand why there's so much bad info about vitamin D. They run a clinical trial and they check a person's calcium levels. And then they give a person vitamin D and they check the calcium levels again. And they see that calcium is higher, so vitamin D is great. Let's do this for all these people that obviously need more calcium. But they don't understand that the vitamin D isn't just pulling it in from the intestinal tract, it's also pulling it away from all these other places it needs to be. And it's holding the calcium in the blood and not allowing the calcium to get down to where it needs to be. So it's just important to understand how to use low doses of vitamin D and then watch your urine pH and adjust according to that and according to your blood pressure.
So you think it's okay to do a little more vitamin D as long as the urine pH isn't above 6?
Right. A person could take more than, what I use, which is the 80 to 100, 200, something like that. They could probably do a little more if they weren't getting any sun, their urine pH wasn't high, and their blood pressure wasn't high. And if anything else is indicating that you're insulin resistant, know that your blood tests are going to show vitamin D being low because your body is doing that on purpose. Listen to your body. Don't tell Mother Nature to piss off and punch her in the throat just because your doctor wants you to.
I'm going to give this episode to my doctor because she was trying to get me to take those really high levels, and thankfully I knew better.
Right. They all do. It's all the cool kids are doing it nowadays.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So moving on. The next thing is must fix the loose stools. So with keto stuff, you might need to reduce the amount of fats that you're having until you fix this, because undigested fats can magnify loose stools because your body's just trying any way it can to get rid of these fats that are not usable. So you might have to reduce the fats until you fix the bioflow. You might have to be aggressive to get it working right, which means you might need to use beet flow. You might need to do a few beet flow flushes, which we teach how to do in our Almost Free Digestion course. And the most effective thing is to do a beet flow flush one day and then a coffee suppository the next day, or a coffee enema is fine too. But that combination is the most powerful that we've seen. And some people need to do that once a week for 2 or 3 or 4 times as needed. But another big thing for you will be bringing down the stress of the body and bringing down estrogen levels if those are high. One thing that works really well is a supplement called calcium D-glucarate, which you can get anywhere. And it helps to kind of turn estrogen into glucose so the body can just use it and kind of get it out of the system. And bringing down that estrogen levels could make the flow of your period less, so you can remove the crime scene from your pants. It could also reduce the amount that estrogen is thickening the bile. So that could help a lot of things. I usually see people use like a bottle of calcium D-glucarate over a month or two. You know, maybe they do 2 bottles. So maybe they use it, they take 1 or 2 capsules per meal for a month or two, and then it usually can help get rid of a lot of that estrogen that is accumulated. But if some other huge stress in the body is making you continuously make more estrogen, you got to fix the stress too.
Well, going back to the bile flow, so obviously she wants to try the beet flow, maybe needs the Zenoplex or a coffee enema. With that being said, a lot of people still want to raise their fat because they still want to eat low carb. Is eating something like coconut oil, which is easier to digest, their next best step? Like maybe not eating a ton of it, but starting to use that more often?
Right. Coconut oil, a lot of people feel like it doesn't actually need bile to process in the body, so it might be a little easier to do. MCT oil for the people that are having loose stool issues seems to be the worst.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of clients fix stuff. You know, we tried everything to stop the diarrhea and it wouldn't start. And then they're like, oh yeah, I'm also doing a pound of MCT oil in my coffee every morning. I'm like, yeah, don't.
Okay.
Stop it, and it just stops. So that doesn't mean MCT oil causes diarrhea. That's not what I'm saying. But just if you're having these issues, you might need to back off on the fat to the point to where you might still need to eat low carb. You might not be able to eat keto yet. And again, remember that eating keto is another way to push on the gallbladder to get bile flowing. So it might be the best thing for you to do. But if it's causing crazy diarrhea and you can't get past it, you might just have to back off until you can take enough steps to improve it.
Okay. Then I think we are on number 4.
Yeah, and that was just that improving bile flow is also going to improve liver function in most cases. So that's a big one.
Okay.
Okay. And 5 is that as you take these steps, you're likely going to see blood pressure start to come down naturally as your body has the ability to remove filth. So you really need to watch it and make sure it doesn't go too low. Because if your body is removing filth, but you still don't have a lot of mineral in the system, your blood pressure could go too low and then your cravings could be out of control. So just kind of keep an eye on that to make sure that that doesn't happen. And I just talked about the calcium D-glucarate step, or how that could help bring estrogen levels down. Another thing that could help if you really are leaning insulin resistant is we use something called Banaba Chrome by Empirical Labs, and it's only available with a health coach. So you're not going to be able to buy it as a consumer on Natural Reference without a practitioner's code allowing you to do that. But you may be able to find just some chromium. Banaba Chrome is banaba leaf and chromium mixed together that really helps the body give the body a lot of cofactors it needs to process carbs correctly. But if you can't get that, you might be able to use some chromium Just keep in mind that chromium is very pro-anabolic. So if someone is also dealing with an anabolic imbalance, that can be a problem. And, you know, when we look at Elizabeth's imbalance guide, we see a lot of things that are pretty balanced for her. Like, a lot of her things are in a good range that don't seem to be problematic. So that's great. But some of the clients that have, like, you know, Gabe that worked with me and lost 235 pounds in a year, his numbers were, I've never seen a test so perfect. He had zero imbalances. Everything was perfect and he was 435 pounds. But he had digestive issues that they were major and needed to be fixed. And when he fixed them, all the weight started to fall off. So looking at Elizabeth, she has a lot of things that are in really good ranges, even though she, you know, her electrolytes are high and that is showing a lot of problems. But don't let your imbalances say, if they looked balanced, that everything's perfect and I'm golden. I'll just go keep doing what I'm doing, because digestive problems alone can create a lot of these issues.
Okay, so I think that's all we really have to talk about for Elizabeth today. But if you are interested in having a case study done, you can go to kickitnaturally.com/annualpay, and we'll add that link to the show notes. And just keep in mind, we just had a two-part episode. We just gave Elizabeth a ton of information that is going to help her see improvements quickly. So obviously, it's a lot of work, which is why we can only have this option available from time to time. But make sure you sign up to get notified when we open it up again, so that way you can sign up as soon as possible before we fill up all the slots when we are able to do this again.
Yeah, and even if you're a Keto Decoded member already, you can still sign up for the annual pay, and then you'll just be paying annually instead of monthly, and then you get all of these bonuses too.
Plus, you get a fancy name, like a goal crusher, so you definitely want to sign up for that, just so we can call you a goal crusher.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to be a goal crusher? Everybody wants a nickname.
Yes.
Okay, so that's it. So you can go to the show notes page at chatthefat.com/episode28 or episode 28.5, maybe. Nah, we'll just go episode 28. Let's go there, and we'll have it for both episodes there. So we will see you next week when we're going to be interviewing a new friend of ours that we met on the keto cruise, Robert from Keto Savage. He has a great podcast, Keto Savage, and he's like a very successful bodybuilder and does it on keto. So definitely tune in. His story was really fantastic.
It was.
Okay. We'll see you guys next week. All right, guys, that was a lot of fun for me. So I hope you enjoyed it. I really like digging into people's physiology and helping them understand the actual likely underlying causes, or at least understanding the variety of underlying causes that can cause those issues, and steps they can take to figure out what's going to help them move past that the most. So that's a lot of fun. Now, if you need to check in any of the links or any of the downloads that we talked about during that episode, you can find them at chatthefat.com/episode28. And if you want to check out if keto is right for you, you can go ahead and check and see when the next date of our next free online workshop will be, where we kind of walk people through looking at their physiology to figure out if keto is right for them, or maybe they need to do a different type of diet, or maybe they need to correct some issues before they embark on any type of keto adventure. And you can find the dates at chatthefat.com/workshop. So I have some new episodes of Kick It Naturally coming up. If you guys have a topic that you really want me to talk about, go to kickitnaturally.com and click on the Contact Us button, and let me know what you want me to cover, and we'll put it in an upcoming episode. We'll see you guys soon.